If you have something to sell, whether a service or a product, you have a sales team. Maybe that sales team is just you or dozens of salespeople. The big question today is, do you provide your sales team with the resources they need to close more deals? It's critical that you empower your sales team to succeed. That's our topic today. And to get into this, I welcome once again Ed Marsh, the founder and principal of Consilium Global Business Advisors. Ed, welcome to Straight Talk.
Thank you very much for having me back, Jeff. I always enjoy these conversations.
Absolutely, I do as well. So let's jump into it. Let's start with this. Can you give us a what they call a 30,000 foot view of what sales enablement looks like for a successful organization?
Yeah, so to the way you opened this up, this question of resources for the sales team, I think we can kind of put a term around it. It's a fairly common term in tech sales now, or tech marketing. We call it sales enablement. So what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, let's back up to the fact that sales has gotten really hard. It's not like it used to be. It's gotten hard. And statistics tell us that. I mean, buyers now are 70% of the way through their buying journey before they want to talk to a rep. It's harder to get to the table. It's harder to have meetings. There's research that indicates that more than 60% of B2B sales reps consistently miss their quotas, that sales reps are not getting the job done. And 40% of complex sales, according to some research, are ending in no decision. The status quo wins. When you got buying teams with 8 to 12 people on it, where often one person can say no and kill a deal, and you have to have 8 to 12 say yes in order to make it happen. I mean, trying to get that together with personalities and different departments and everything going on is hard. And so this individual buying journey wanders back and forth as people research between areas that we traditionally thought of as being marketing and areas that we traditionally thought of as being sales. And we used to have this idea that there was this linear progression from one to the other, except that doesn't happen now. And people are hiding on the internet, doing their research, wandering back and forth between those areas. So given that, then what can we do to integrate marketing and sales? Certainly there's two different, very distinct skill sets and disciplines, but we need to figure out how to mash them together. And it's no longer just marketing creates a lead and throws it over the wall and sells it. We need tools, we need resources, as you said, we need certain kinds of activities, and we need to work together as a group to create a fabulous buying experience that'll help differentiate us from competitors, and it sets the sales team up for success in this tough market.
Aspire has done an amazing job of getting us to look at the right numbers, like the cost of drive time.
We load everything in that we need for the job and actually get a price spit out.
We've been able to increase gross margin by 4 percentage points.
Now I've got data that I can make real business decisions with.
So much goes on behind the scenes or in the process to make that sale. So thank you for those details. What are some of the key components of all of this? Content, training, tech to supply your team with what they need?
Well, of course, I mean, I love talking to you because you are such an inspirational content example. And obviously, content's a big piece of it. But before we even get into any of those tactics or components, let's kind of zoom out back to 30,000 feet, if you will, and let's acknowledge the fact that this is fundamentally a cultural mindset change. This idea of integrating sales and marketing, of working together to create tools, create awareness, develop the insights that are necessary in order for sales to be successful. So management has to drive it, and they have to continuously reinforce it. It's got to be a very carefully managed cultural change. But let's look at some specific examples. If we think of that buying team, typically it's 8 to 12 people. That means there's going to be somebody from finance, there's going to be somebody from operations, there'll be somebody from purchasing, and there'll be a variety of other folks. Each of them look at the decision very differently. As individuals, they've got their quirks and personalities, and by department, they've got different priorities. And in fact, if they're participating in a decision about a purchase for one department, that may be taking money away from their own department. So they may be torn about doing this. We need to be able to reach each of those people, particularly with the right kind of information that pertains to their concerns. But a sales rep is often only getting to maybe three or four of them sitting at the conference table or participating in the Zoom meeting. So it's almost like an iceberg. There's a lot of that buying team that we don't have access to directly. And so we need tools that will help us appeal to them, whether they're auditory or visual or kinesthetic learners, whatever their particular concerns are. We need various media, various messages that will reach them at the right time in their buying journey and bring them the right information to make it easy for them to kind of participate in this and see where we're going with it. You know, sometimes people think about the website as being their primary point of interaction. And certainly that's a big place, and people on a buying team will come in between meetings and they'll research, they'll look at things, they'll follow links, they'll do all that kind of stuff. But we need enablement to make it easy for them to find the information they want. To go from an anonymous website visitor clicking on some links and looking for something to a chatbot that helps them connect with the right person or find the right information. And maybe instead of a form where somebody fills it out and then they email 17 times and call and try to schedule a meeting and then coordinate about calendars, maybe that chatbot goes to live chat right to the right person. Or maybe it goes to a scheduling app so they can book the meeting or right to a Zoom meeting from there. And that's an example of enabling sales to be successful, cutting out some of the waste and kind of frustration in the middle and connect them directly to a meeting. Another example we talked about the last time we chatted is intent data. Mm-hmm. Intent data is really, really powerful, but to be successful with it, the marketing team has to understand it well. They have to package it well. They have to break it down in ways that's accessible to sales. They have to explain it really well to sales leadership. And then sales management has to coach the reps continuously on how to find it, how to interpret it, how to incorporate it into their outreach. So those are some examples of some of the kind of granular pieces that fit into the sales enablement rubric.
Okay. So some of our viewers sell products. Some of them sell services. And there are some other things in between. Does all this fit both models, selling services or products, or is there a difference?
So, of course, there's some differences and there's some similarities. I would say what all of them are selling is outcomes, whether it's by a product or by a service, they're selling an outcome. And so then really I would break it down. Is it a simple outcome? Do they make sure they've got the copy or paper, or, you know, to try to speak in the language of your industry, maybe it's just the brand of urinal cakes that they're using or something like that. Or is it complex? Is it something like a 3-year cleaning contract? Or maybe the idea of, when I was at the ISSA show last November, the thing jumped out at me was all the scents. This idea of using scents as part of branding and everything else, you know, that becomes an increasingly complex decision if you've got a number of locations and all of that, or if you're trying to harmonize ware washing machines. I'm going to outdrive my headlights talking about your industry, but those are some things that kind of come to mind as I think about walking around the show. So the research that goes into that kind of process and the buying team for those complex decisions is going to involve more people, and there's more hesitancy, there's more personalities and all that. So we have to make sure that we incorporate the enablement to do it. Now, at the same time, some people may be saying, yeah, but I've seen research now that companies will do 6-figure purchases using e-commerce. So let's also not confuse the difference between an easy transaction and an easy purchasing decision, because those are different things. That 6-figure e-commerce decision is probably the product of a buying team that's gone through that and would therefore benefit from having enablement content in order to make that. So I would say, first of all, in terms of B2B sales, we're always thinking outcomes rather than product or sales. And in terms of the importance of enablement, I would say it's based on the complexity of that decision.
Yeah, that makes sense. A cleaning contract is much different than buying a urinal cake.
For sure.
Okay. So we're talking about the sales team. Let's talk about the customers. All of this, when it's in play and it's working, what does that do for the customer experience?
Well, B2B buyers today are shaping, or their expectations for their B2B buying experience is being shaped by their B2C consumer buying experiences. So they're looking for richer experiences. They're looking for smoother experiences. They're looking for less friction. All of this is kind of the expectation. And so we need to be thinking about how we can make their buyer experience easier. And in a perfect world, that's exactly what sales enablement does. It reduces friction. It allows the sales team or customer service, if it's an existing customer, to really be providing the right insights, the right information in the right format at the right time for the right person, the member of that buying team, wherever they are in their buying journey, to help them understand better the problem they've got, understand their options to solve it, and eliminate the frustrations that happen in trying to access information, being afraid of reaching out to sales because they're going to get bashed over the head, you know, 17 times over the next 3 days. Are you ready to buy, or whatever the case may be? So it's really, I think, going back to that cultural change, if we think about the value of improving the buyer experience, that's a lot of what enablement does.
Okay, so the sales enablement theme, good stuff. We're talking about sales, but what about the marketing team? How does the marketing department fit into this, or should it?
All right. Well, so as you in your content world, I'm sure that you can empathize with the frustration that sales might feel if you said, hey, you've identified the fact that, for instance, a lot of deals are hanging up with the CFO or in the finance department. So you need to create a guide that explains how to justify this decision from the finance perspective. Sales team, go figure it out and make it happen. I mean, it's just, it's not going to happen. Right. So controlling the technology, whether we talk about chatbot or intent data or content or alerts through the marketing automation system or whatever, these happen at the intersection of marketing and sales. And so it really is fundamental to sales enablement and to improving the buyer experience and to success, frankly, in today's kind of market environment, that marketing and sales have to really be very tightly integrated. Yes, different disciplines, different skills, different KPIs and metrics and compensation, all of that. But you have to think of it as being a revenue growth team, an integrated revenue growth function or system.
Mm-hmm. With the similar goals, same goals, I guess you could say, end of the day.
For sure.
Absolutely. Ed, I know, I think this might be a repeat question of some type, but I know we've covered technology and tools in the past. And you mentioned some here today, chatbots and things that will help the sales process. Anything worth mentioning here, though, besides what we've already covered, to really push this sales enablement forward?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, CRM, we got to feed information to the sales reps through the CRM so they get the insights that they need to deliver the right content at the right time to the right person at the right stage in the buying journey. Salesforce automation can help with that. Content sharing tools. If you've got a bunch of white papers and you need an easy way for the salespeople to consistently find the right version at the right time, to share it in the right way so you can tell who clicks the link and all of that, you need tools to do that. You need sales video tools and alerts for your website, for prospects or you know, pending deal visitors that come back or click an email or read an email, engage with some content that you shared with them. You need database tools that help the sales team build out the buying team. If you get a lead for one person from the company, who are the other 9 or 11 people that are likely on that buying team? Those are all examples of technology. And again, in many cases, marketing controls the technology. And so that's part of the reason why it's so important that you have this tight integration.
You almost need like a tool manager on staff, all these tech tools, all these programs.
Yeah, for sure. And the flip side is there's so many shiny gadgets that it's really easy for fairly expensive bloat to develop, where you sign up for this subscription and that subscription, and before you know it, if nobody's really watching at a high level what's going on with all of it, you've got a lot of stuff that doesn't get used very much and costs a lot of money.
Sounds like my streaming TV services.
Time to cut the cord, I guess.
Well, yeah, we get them all for sure and don't use most of them. Ed, thank you for this, but any parting thoughts you'd like to share to wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the takeaway would be if I'm a senior executive at a company listening to this, I'm saying, geez, you know, we've got a hard enough time taking our old brochures and converting them to PDFs. And now you're talking about we need video for each member of the 11-person buying team, for each stage in the buying journey, and each problem they're worried about. How are we ever going to get this done? We can't forget about it. Let's just not do it. Let's keep doing the things the way we're doing it. I understand. I hear you. But think of it as a journey. You don't have to get to perfect on day one. You have to identify what the biggest problem is. Where is the sales process breaking down? Where are you losing deals? Is it because finance is shutting them down? Or does a competitor win consistently because they've got great reviews or testimonials? Or do you create a lot of leads that just never convert into meetings? Figure out where the highest priority, biggest opportunity is and work on fixing that. And then go to the next one and the next one. It's a continuous improvement sort of a mindset. And I think that you'll very quickly start to see results. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit there. And eventually, if you want to carry it all the way through, you can develop a very sophisticated and quite complex sales enablement program. But you start with a mindset and start fixing pieces one at a time.